Today's guest is Lindsay DeSwart. She is a very unusual guest. I haven't had anybody like her on my show, and I was so excited to get on a call with her. We've been trying to get our schedules aligned, and we finally did. But one of the reasons that I'm so fascinated in what she does is because I'm watching a show right now called Heartland. And if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's on Netflix. It's a commitment. It's 14 seasons. And so the show is now ended, but it is a real commitment. And my husband and I are enjoying it immensely. It's very clean, unlike most of the shows we watch where there's a dead body every episode. But she is a horse whisperer, just like Amy, who is the star of Heartland. So she is so incredibly gifted with what she does. And she is a shamanic coach. So she talks about her story, how she got involved with that, and how she's always loved horses. We had that in common. She now lives in the UK, but she came from Canada, which is very interesting because that's where Heartland was filmed. And it was a big influence in her going down this path. But when something is interesting to you and something speaks to you and really resonates with you at a deep, almost soulful level, it's a sign to pursue it. And she did, and she listened. So she's an energy medicine practitioner. I've had a few of those people on the show recently. She's a life coach, hypnotherapist. But one of the things that she does that's so amazing is she not only works with individuals, she works with horses. And the horses read their owner's energy, and she is able to find things that are wrong, things that are being withheld, trauma that's been from somebody's past, how they're holding energy through their horse. Their horse is the one she actually gets messages from about her clients. And I'm sure she helps people who don't have horses, but it's so fascinating how she helps people through their horses. And she also helps horses. She tells a very heartwarming story about her horse that she got that helped her lead her to her true path and purpose. And so that's an amazing story. And I just was so choked up when she was talking about it that I couldn't even speak. I was glad she kept talking, because if I had had to say something, I would have it would have been hard for me to communicate. So I was dabbing at my eyes during the episode. So I hope you enjoy Lindsay and her story and how she found her way to what she does, which is such a gift, as much as I enjoyed talking to her. Here she is.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Hello. I am very excited about today's guest because we have been trying to get our schedules together for, I think, like 6 months. She had a big move from Canada to the UK. She's now settled in. And then like I lost electricity, which is kind of funny because she's deals with energy. So my internet went out. And so we couldn't record the podcast, and then something else happened and here we are. So I'm very excited. So welcome to the show, Lindsay DeSwart.
Thank you very much. I just think it's lovely that it ended up being on such an incredible night for energy.
Yeah. So tell the listeners what today is.
Well, it's the solar eclipse. And so we get the red moon. And I think this might be the last time that we get the red moon until 2025.
Yes, because I looked it up. Looked it up when you said that, because I wasn't aware. I think I had heard there was an eclipse, but I didn't like know exactly when. And I knew it was going to be the blood moon. So I looked it up and it's, 3 years until another full eclipse.
Yeah. So it's pretty special. And it's just such a huge, big energy of changing direction, clearing out, getting rid of the old. And there's always a bit of that with the moons, but this one is especially powerful. So I love that we're talking tonight.
Yeah. And it's called Blood Moon because of the shadow that the sun casts on the moon, which I thought was interesting. It's that reflection of it. Yeah. So speaking of clearing out, you just had a big move. So
I did.
Yeah. So I want you to talk about your whole backstory. But one of the things that Lindsay does, which has me so excited, is that she's a horse whisperer. So I'm so excited about it because So I used to have a horse, so that connection. But my husband and I are also watching this show on Netflix called Heartland, and it's a clean show, and it's about a girl who is exactly that, a horse whisperer, and her mom was, and so she's kind of inherited that gift. But it's a great, I mean, we're just like hooked to it. Every night we like watch an episode at least. And it's not like the shows we normally watch where there's a dead body every episode. Yeah. The only things that die in the show are horses. So yeah.
I cannot tell you how many times I've sobbed through that show if something dies. And then actually at the end, at the very end of the series, I felt like I'd lost a family member.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not joking. I was grieving the loss of these people.
Yeah. Well, it's 14 seasons. It's 14. Yeah. So you watch them grow up. You know, she's like a teenager, I'm sure. And we just started season 5. So we've got quite a ways to go.
You've got so much to do. Yeah. The funny thing is, when we were in Canada, we went to the Royal Winter Fair, which is like the sort of the big horse show. And as we walked in, and it was a few years ago, and obviously before COVID, and as we walked in, there was this massive crowd. And my daughter and I were like, what the heck's going on over there? And it was Amy from Heartland signing autographs. The place was mobbed, absolutely mobbed, because everybody feels like they know her because we've all watched her grow up.
Yeah. Well, and I guess you were in Canada, and that's where it's filmed. So that's crazy. Yeah,
exactly. Although I was on the other side, it was filmed in Alberta.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was over in Ontario.
Is she Canadian? Do you know?
I actually don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyways, yes.
Anyway.
Tell me, first of all, how did you get into being a horse whisperer? Because, you help people and horses, but what I love is that you also help the people, the horse owners. Because by being a better person, you're really essentially helping the horse. But that relationship between the animal and the owner is so, so incredibly important. And horses, and what I'm learning from Heartland is, I had a horse, so, which I loved him dearly when I was a teenager. But horses can have trauma, just like humans can have trauma, and we don't know sometimes the history of a horse. So how did you get into it? Because I asked before we hit record, a lot of my guests I know nothing about other than we've chit-chatted on Instagram or Facebook and said, hey, you look like an interesting guest. So I asked you, was this something you always knew or you followed your heart, knowing internally, this really interests me, this really intrigues me, I might have a gift? Or did you go the like normal society route of, I go to school, I got to get a good job, I got to get paid a lot? And so it sounds like you did go the traditional path, which most of us do, because that's what we're taught. So just tell me about how, when you first kind of started really going and using your gifts, going towards that path.
Well, it's funny because just like you, I was into horses as a kid. And then you kind of get into the teenage years. And then teenage years, I guess, boys come along and other sports and other commitments and whatever. And so I just kind of, phased out of it. And then I would say probably every 5 years, I dipped back into it. And I just, you know, I'd come back from university and I'd go and have a writing lesson. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, I don't have time or the money for this in my life right now. But I'd always just tune back in. And that was purely English riding lessons, though. It was, you know, I mean, I rode in some incredible places. One of the things that one of the riding schools I went to was just outside Windsor Castle. And we used to go and ride in the grounds of Windsor Castle. And I mean, I still sometimes I look back and I go, did I seriously do that? You know, we used to weave in and out of the trees just in front of the castle. It was such a privilege to ride. But riding was just a real privilege for me. It was nothing. Well, I say it was nothing more than that. I never questioned it. I never thought it was any more than the riding lessons that, you know, young girls have. And if you've got an interest in horses. Anyway, so as you say, you know, we all go the normal route. We went to school and university. And then after university, I moved to London and got a job, then got married, then started having kids. And, you know, that the regular life cycle that we go through. And then when I had my second child, my second son, that was when I had my big awakening kind of, oh my goodness, life is not as I know it. It's not the regular way. You know, the whole thing about I needed to then start exploring alternative medicine and alternative health and just start living in a very different way. So that was when I had my big awakening. And it's because he had health problems, you know, et cetera.
I was going to ask. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, none of them were sort of life threatening, but they certainly were lifestyle changing. Anyway, so that's when I started on my kind of my personal growth. And I started training as an NLP practitioner, a neuro-linguistic programming. Oh no, so first of all, actually, before I had him, I was a personal trainer because I knew I didn't want to go back to work full time after having my first son. So I thought, okay, personal training.
And so what was your job before you?
I was in recruitment.
Okay.
In recruitment in London. And then we moved to Sweden with my husband's job and I carried on in recruitment. And then I had my first son there. Then we came back to England and I said, well, I don't want to go back to work full time. I know that. So I'll do something different. I'll train doing what I love. So I guess I was following my heart and that was about 30. So I started doing personal training. Then I got pregnant with my second son. Then, as I say, I went to hell in a handbasket with his health and things just didn't go easily. You know, the first child, so easy, textbook. And I was like, oh, look at me. I'm such a good parent. Ha ha. And then totally lulled into this false sense of security. Anyway, then my second son came along. I went, oh my God, I'm falling apart. I'm losing it. This is terrible. I'm the worst parent in the world. So I went on my journey. And then, as I say, started training with other therapies. So I kind of went from the very physical work of helping mums, because I used to run like a village fitness class for mums to get back to shape. So that was the physical side. Then I moved into the mental side, which was the neuro-linguistic programming, and started working with people that way. And then I started doing hypnosis. So I was getting a little bit more, kind of a little bit more way out there as you go. And now, of course, I think hypnosis is like the most normal thing in the world. When I first learned it, it was a bit way out there. So I lived in England then with my second son and practicing as a practitioner on humans. And did I even ride at that stage? I probably didn't even ride at that stage, although we did have horses living in the field across the road. So I would very often go over there just because you love horses, you just go and check in with them. That's funny, actually. I hadn't thought about that for a long time. And then we decided we wanted to have a lifestyle change. And so we said, okay, well, you know, where can we get all the things that we want, all the things that we loved about Sweden, the things that we liked about England, but leave the things we didn't like about England? Where can we do that? So we started looking and we went, actually, you know what? Canada works. Let's move to Canada. And we literally had a post-it note of what we wanted for our life. And so we said, okay, where can we find this? Okay, it's in Canada. And a year later, we worked with employment lawyers and stuff. And my husband's company said, yeah, you can take the business over there. So off we went to Canada.
And what part? Because Canada's big.
Yeah, it is very big. We went to Ontario, just near Toronto, okay. About an hour north of Toronto-ish. And we, yeah, I mean, within the year we were there anyway. So we started our life in Toronto, and then I actually got pregnant. And so I had my daughter in Canada, which was awesome because we'd taken all the baby stuff with us, but we just said, you know, if it happens, it happens. We'd been trying for a while and, you know, nothing was happening. Anyway, as soon as we landed in Canada, I got pregnant. So I was like, okay, this is my Canadian baby. And so, you know, that was great. Anyway, when she was maybe, I know she was just young, let's say 3 or 4. She was maybe just starting school, even younger than that. For Mother's Day, my husband booked me a riding lesson because, you know, it was like, okay, so mum needs a treat. What are we going to get her? So he bought me a riding lesson. So we went to this farm, which was run by a cowgirl. And we had a riding lesson. And oh my goodness, how much did I hurt? You know what it's like if you haven't ridden for years.
Yes. Oh,
it's a painful experience. And you think that everything you used to do, you should be able to do. Anyway.
Different muscles.
Oh, yeah. Muscle memory. That was a bit of a wake-up call. Anyway, so I rode at this farm and it was great. And then, you know, went back into normal life and said, okay, well, I haven't got the time for it, etc. And it was probably about it was fairly soon after that. I started having some lessons because I got my daughter riding, boom. And so again, that's when I started this whole cycle of, you know, some lessons and then a break and then some lessons and then a break. And, you know, it's expensive. It's time consuming. Mm-hmm. We had 3 kids. I was trying to run a practice. And so I just fitted in riding when I could. But one of the things that really struck me is in that time, our first family dog died. And I had a riding lesson the next day or after the dog had been put down. And I remember going to the riding lesson and tacking up the horse and grooming the horse. And I just stood and I just cried in the horse's mane. And I just remember this feeling of this horse is holding this energy for me. This horse is absolutely just giving me the space I need to do whatever I need to go through. And it struck me then, not quite the extent of the healing, but I knew that there was such healing power within horses. And I just assumed it's because I love being around them. You know, if you love being with horses, you just love being with horses. So I just put it down to that. And then, so I know this is probably, well, I mean, we were riding on and off all the time when Harriet was growing up and she's now 14. So it was just before COVID. I met up with my original life coach teacher who taught me NLP and taught me hypnosis all those years ago, about 2005. And she said, and I was actually interviewing her for a women's virtual summit that I was doing. And I got back into contact with her. And so she said, well, actually, you know, my work's quite different now. I'm doing shamanic work. So I went, oh, wow, cool. Anyway, so she said, why don't you have a session? So I had a session with her and it was fairly soon after my dad had died. And there was so much stuff to clear out there. And so she really helped me just to do a lot of clearing on my emotion and just to clear, you know, some of the blocks and this sort of thing. And so then she said, why don't you come and do this training with me? She said, I'm just about to start running another course. It's starting like in the next year. Why don't you join me? So I said, okay, feels like pretty miraculous stuff. I'll do it. So I started doing that. And then, of course, I was in Canada. She was in England. And then lockdown started. So all of the course was being done online. And I'd done a whole bunch of her videos and stuff for training, which was, you know, the pre-work. But then we were live on the screen with maybe 15 women from around the world, all training in this energy work. And I was so grateful that it was COVID because I was in and out of meditation all the time. And I was going so deep in this energy work like I'd never done before. I was like, I actually can't function in the real world right now. So I was so pleased for COVID. Yeah. It's like, the world has stopped and just allowed me to go off into completely into la la land. And it's just what I need. So Anyway, within some of these meditations, I kept getting this spirit animal. And of course, you can guess what the spirit animal was. This horse kept showing up all the time. And I just said, there is something about this. And also, I think it was Heartland as well. But I said, there is something about this. I know I need to be with a horse, but this is not about the riding anymore. This is completely different. And anyway, so when we came out of the original COVID lockdown, I said, that's it, I want to buy a horse. And my husband was like, okay, this is quite a commitment. but, you know, if that's what you really need to do, and it's not like, you know, there's any other hobbies going on, you know, the gym has stopped, which is where I'd always spent so much time. So I was like, okay, well, let's get a horse. So I, because it was COVID, of course, that everybody was demanding horses just the way they were puppies.
Interesting.
So I missed a couple. I missed probably about eight, actually. And anyway, then I found this. I was in this Facebook group, and this, I said, this is what I wanted. And this lady said, I might just actually have the horse for you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, we weren't going to sell her, but, you know, it sounds right. Anyway, so I drove 3 hours with my daughter, and we went to look at this beautiful Appaloosa, so one of like the spirit brown spotted horses, just magical coloring, blonde mane, blonde tail, just gorgeous. And so both my daughter and I rode her, and she was just lovely, and she had these matching ear tips, both the ends of her ears were white. And she was so beautiful, but she just didn't fit into the program they wanted, so they said, you know, yeah, we'll sell her. So we went back another time to have another look and to ride again. And my husband came with us, and we said, okay, you know, yep, she looks great. She was a very reasonable price because she wasn't any, you know, any show horse. And I said, that's fine. That's not what I want. I just want a really nice, easygoing family horse. I said, I'm not interested in competing or anything like that. I've done all of that. Not interested. I just want a companion horse.
And how old was she? Because horses can live a long time.
Yeah, well, Penny was nine.
Nine.
And she had had an interesting time because she had, she was, I bought her from the breeder, but she'd been with the breeder. Then one of the breeder's students bought her for their daughter. Their daughter went off to college, so she got left in a field. Then the lady who bought her got pregnant later in life, so she was left in a field. Then I think the husband came along, so he was trying to look after her, but she was quite opinionated. So then he got quite scared of her. So then he was probably a little bit more rough-handed than you or I would have been. And then, so the breeder said, look, you know, this is not doing her any good. She's in a field. So this is doing her no good because she's stuck in a field. So I'm going to buy her back and I'll retrain her. So that's exactly what he did. And then, so he retrained her. She was back in her herd. She was quite happy, but there was no demands on her. So she got quite pushy, quite opinionated. Still fine to ride. I mean, my daughter and I, as I say, we both hopped on and she was absolutely fine. Anyway, so we bought her and I took her to this fancy English stable because that's what I thought I wanted. And she got more and more pushy and I got more and more scared. And then we said, okay, let's take her to a trainer. And it was about this time, it was all coincidental, actually. And the reason I remember it is because just when it was early on, I took her to this fancy English barn. And there was a lady there, and she was just a sweetheart. Her name was Sherry. And Sherry was one of the barn hands, that, you know, and she knew horses through and through. And she loved Penny because she had had an Appaloosa and she'd done a lot of spirit work with her Appaloosa. Anyway, and I got talking to her because she just loved Penny. And I said, well, it's funny, actually, because I'm about to start my shamanic training. You know, this particular element of the course. She was like, oh my goodness, you're joking. Anyway, the next day she came in and she said, I was gifted this eagle feather and I want you to have it for your work, because she said, I know that you can put this to good use. Which is such a profound thing. It was gifted to her by an Indigenous healer, and for her to gift it straight to me when we barely knew each other, she said, Lindsay, I know that you'll put this work to incredible use.
And there is an Indigenous healer in Heartland.
Oh, yes.
Yes, there is. Yes. Yeah.
So this whole journey, it was so synchronistic, let's say.
Yeah.
And because I think I'd been watching Heartland, and because of where I was with the healing journey and how deep this healing journey was going, I thought, hold on a minute, there's got to be more to this. So I started looking up courses and reading books and really finding out about different ways that I could use the energy with the horses. So I started practicing this energy work with Penny. And to the point that, of course, you know, cold Canada evenings, because she was quite pushy and I didn't want to do the healing work very close to her. So I would stand outside her stable to the point that I would really work on the energy, to the point that she was falling asleep. So she was resting on her stable door, just fast asleep. And I'd stood and I was so intentional about my energy. And anyway, so she was really feeling it. And then very soon after she moved into the stable, she got injured, quite badly injured. And her leg swelled up and she was being treated by the vet. It was quite traumatic. And of course, I didn't know what to do with this. I'd never had to deal with it. I don't think she knew what to do with it because she'd never had this sort of treatment. So she got really stressed out. So I thought, okay, I need to use my healing. So then I would go in every day and I would do nothing else with her other than just calm down, get into her, you know, get into the vibe, get really calm our energy down and just spend time with her. No demands on her, just spend time with her. And anyway, so I was still walking her and she healed through this. And this is only a month in of having her. So it was a really new relationship. And this was one of the things that now looking back on it, when people say your horse is with you for a reason and your horse is with you for a reason, Penny was with me for a reason and she wasn't messing about. There was no time delay. It was as soon as things happened, they happened fast. We got together fast. She got injured fast. She was traumatized fast. She scared me fast. She reacted to the energy fast. Everything happened so fast. And then Sherry, who gifted me the feather, she was leaving the barn. So this was, you know, probably a couple of months in. And things were starting to go a bit downhill since Penny got injured. And so she said, Lindsay, Penny's not doing well here. She said, I seriously think that you should look to another stable and move her. She's just not doing well here. And I agreed because it wasn't going well. Anyway, I'd heard this trainer who'd been recommended by a couple of different people. So I sent Penny to this trainer. Well, oh my God, it was terrible, terrible, terrible. Within 2 months, this trainer said, this horse is dangerous. I'm not letting you ride her. You should sell her. You've been sold a drugged horse. And all this time, I'd already been having these healing sessions. I'd been standing outside with her when she was in the field. I've been standing outside doing energy work with her in full ski gear, in minus 30, in a snowstorm, standing and watching her sleep on the other side of the fence. And this was, I couldn't get on her because she was dangerous. So there was nothing else I could do. As I know I need the relationship with this horse, but I can't ride her. It's not about the riding. So what can I do? So I saw her pretty much every single day and I just worked with her energy. And I saw ripples of movement going over her as I was working with her. And as I stood doing energy work, I mean, countless nights, and as I stood doing this energy work with her, the release that came through me, I could feel the shifts coming through me. And I was just crying because it just felt like such a release. And it was like nothing I'd ever experienced. And I was doing energy work on humans, but of course, humans can express their feelings with words and humans can cry themselves. And so I would lead people on these, you know, these sort of energetic, I want to say, you know, shamanic type journeys. And although that was profound, to me, it was still not nearly as profound as the work that I did standing in front of a creature who can't express themselves in any other way than show you physically. It was just mind-boggling to me.
She's so lucky she had you.
Well, and I'm so lucky I had her.
Well, true. You see, she showed you what's possible with your
totally.
Work. That's
totally.
Amazing.
And I called in an energy communicator who I'd worked with a long time ago. And I just said, I know you work with animals. Please help me because you know, this horse is going, like, getting more dangerous, and I'm being told to sell her. And I said, I can't. I know that's not our journey, but I don't know what our journey is. So Angel, who's the animal communicator, came in and she worked with me, and she said, okay, I want you to put your hands just on Penny's forehead and just tell me, what are you feeling? And so I'd say, you know, what I was feeling. And so she said, okay, well, that's it. I said, what do you mean that's it? She's like, well, why would you question it? She said, that's where everybody goes wrong with their animal communication. They second guess themselves. They question it. They put it through filters. And she said,
logic brain.
Yes, absolutely. She said, if that's what you're feeling, that's what it is. Okay. So I kept working with Penny, kept practicing. And then I was seeing shifts all the time. And she was just getting, you know, she was just getting a little bit calmer. Anyway, we knew we had to move on because this particular trainer did not want us in the barn anymore. She thought I was weird. She thought Penny was a nightmare. So we said, right, okay.
And you weren't probably a good recommendation or referral, right?
Oh my goodness, no, no, no. And so now actually I won't tell her name to anybody because I don't want to be disloyal. Mm-hmm. We didn't work out, but it doesn't mean that she still, you know, she still trains horses very effectively, but it was not our journey.
Well, you know, and if it did work with her, then it would have made you think you need to rely on somebody else. But instead,
I've learned all this.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
All the perfect journey, no matter how terrifying it was, because it was terrifying. Anyway, so I went back.
So during this process, did you ride her at all, or was it just all off?
No. Hardly at all.
Okay.
At the fancy English barn, I started riding her, but then once she went to the trainer wouldn't let me anywhere near her. And in fact, she let me lunge her a little bit. She taught me to lunge her, but mm-hmm. I was terrified. And my lessons with her, because part of the boarding deal was that you had lessons on your horse, apparently. Part of the deal was that she would teach me to walk around with her on a lead. That was my lesson. I mean, that's how basic we got to.
Mm. Wow.
Because she couldn't cope with anymore and I couldn't cope with anymore. And the trainer was just like, I'm not even wasting my time. Or claiming so, my insurance, because I don't know what's going to go wrong.
Yeah, but you were able to be with her, but just not ride her, right?
I was with her every single day. Even if I didn't take her out of the field, I showed up every single day because I knew that's what our journey was.
Mom of three, that's pretty committed.
I wasn't giving up on her.
Like your fourth child. Oh, like totally. It's like adopting a fourth child. Right. Yeah. Who's 9 years old and has all these baggage that came with the life before. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But the funny thing is, both my boys are completely allergic to her.
Oh, no.
They're teenagers. They're moving on. And so that was the other thing. You know, she came at a time when I had the space in my life and the space needed filling.
Yeah. Your nest was emptying and you needed to fill it with something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. So Penny was. Now you got this angel person and she showed you how to lean into what you were feeling
Absolutely.
And not problem solve your way out of things.
Absolutely. Anyway, so we found this new barn. In fact, I went back to the breeder and said, look, this is going on with Penny. I've been told, you know, she's really dangerous. And of course the breeder was like, what? That's not the horse I sold you. Like, what the hell have you done? I'm like, I really don't know. I said, I just don't know what to do right now. So he said, look, this is the lady I know. I knew her growing up. She's from this, you know, this part, 3 hours away from where you live, but she's in your area. You should go and work with her. And I rung her and I said, Susan, and huge, massive gratitude to Susan, bless her heart. I said, Susan, I don't actually know why I'm ringing you because I don't know what you can do, but I just need help right now. I'm so far out of my depth. I've got this horse that I don't know what to do with. I'm doing all this way out there energy stuff. Some barns are going to throw me out because they think I'm a lunatic. But please, can you just help me? And so she said, we had a long chat. And she said, look, this is the barn I work out of. Go and have a look at it and see what you think. Anyway, so I went to have a look at it. But guess what barn it was? It was the barn I'd had my first Mother's Day gift riding lesson at.
Oh, chills.
Purely by chance.
That's crazy.
Yeah, totally. So I went
full circle.
I know, it was a full circle. I went along and I met the owner.
Your husband was very smart.
He's Yeah.
You know, I don't know what made him pick that place. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, I think it was, yeah. Who knows?
Some intuitive thing he didn't even know was happening.
Totally. Yeah. And so Cindy was a lady who owned the barn now, and she'd bought it off the owners that I rode with all those years ago. And she said, absolutely, you can come here. She said, horses really settle here. They just do. I'm like, okay. And she said, we do Western. We do obstacle riding. If you insist on riding English, that's up to you. I'm not going to stop you. And anyway, so I went along there, and then Susan and Cindy, both of them, took me under their wing, and they said, right, we're going to teach you horsemanship. We're not going to teach you Western. We're not going to teach you English. We're going to teach you horsemanship. And that's exactly what they did. And all of the time I was in the barn, still doing my Reiki and still doing my energy work and still working with Penny on a regular basis. And, you know, of course they said, yeah, you're going very slowly with her. And I was like, that's okay. This is our journey. Anyway, so I finished my shamanic training course then. And of course, you know, Cindy, bless her heart, was totally supportive and totally didn't know what on earth I was getting up to. And she was like, okay. But as time went on, she absolutely supported my business. And there were some other ladies that brought their horses to this barn. And I have to say also, after about 6 months, and we had situations where Penny literally was rearing over our heads, and Susan and Cindy both got her right into form, got her calmed down, got the measure of her, and taught me to do the same. So then they taught me to do the horsemanship with her, because she needed the combination of both. She was fine with all the healing when I didn't put any pressure on her. As soon as I put pressure on her, she didn't like it. There was a, you know, an argument there. And it was funny because one of the communicators I used, they said, they just looked at a picture of her and they said, this horse is here to teach you everything that you are.
Mm.
And she will help you to find the parts of you that you've never been brave enough to see.
Mm. Gosh, I get choked up from that. That's amazing.
Because they said, she is no ordinary horse. She is a stunning horse. She has put you so far beyond your comfort zone. Do you not think she's here to teach you something? Yeah, I reckon. Mm,
yeah.
Anyway, so she was just an incredible horse. We got to the stage that we were riding. We were even doing small jumps. It took us a year to do this, to get her cantering, and every single tiny little step forward I was elated about. And I mean, it's funny because the lessons, you know, sometimes my husband would come and watch and he'd be like, wow, that was interesting. I'm like, oh my goodness, you don't know how hard I've worked to do this. But he could see it anyway. So it was, yeah, it was an incredible journey. Anyway, through that journey and through what I learned with Penny, she was a real catalyst for me then making this move to come back to England and finding my voice and standing up for what I wanted. And when the time came and I made the decision of what I was going to do, her feet never left the floor again.
Mm.
I spoke my truth. I made a very brave decision. And from that day forward and going to sell her, she was the calmest horse you will ever meet. And I think the people around me with horses, they saw that transition. And so they said, can you come and work on my horse? And then word spread locally. And so people were then saying, well, could you come and work with my horse and my horse and my horse? And I said, I can only tell you what I can tell you. So I would stand with the horse, with my hands, you know, with the horse, just feeling the energy. And then I'd say, what is it about your stomach right now that's hurting? And the owner would say, what? I said, well, that's what I'm feeling in the horse. And they're like, oh my God, you know, I've just had a really bad stomach bug for 3 days, or that's where I really hold my stress. or the end of the horse's energy would make me move my hands, because I just trust where my hands went on the horse. And the horse's energy sometimes would like take me straight up to their head. And some horses can be really funny about it. There's no way I'd get near their head if they, you know, they didn't know me. And there was a particular horse I could, and it was a, the owner had had this horse. It's one of the testimonial stories actually on my website. The owner had had this horse for 18 years and he was just good, solid, reliable, the best buddy you could ever have. And as I was working with him, and I was like, no, there's no real concerns here, but I'm just going to go and work on his head. And as I went onto his head, completely different energy. My hands felt different. The vibe was different. And so I said, okay, what's going on right now? This is stress that you're holding. What are you dealing with right now? Because I always ask the owners, I said, don't tell me what you're dealing with, and don't tell me, you know, any more than you absolutely need to for me to work safely with the horse, because the horse will tell me. And so as my hands were on the horse's head, it was overthinking. It was a really logical problem. And so I asked the owner, and then she came out with everything that she'd been holding. She's like, oh my goodness, I just never knew that he was holding me in that way. I said, yeah, he just wants to hold you. You'll hold your energy. And as she connected to this, and of course, you know, the tears flowed, his whole demeanor changed. You could see his body change, the way his breathing changed. His physique changed. And it just happens time and time again. As you work with the horse, and I've worked with a couple of ex-race horses, which of course have had trauma, unfortunately, when they're young, and one of them had had a, you know, serious injury. And the one actually with the serious injury, that was interesting, because his owner had had him for a long time, and she'd pretty much rescued him off the track. And he was having all sorts of problems because people were so scared of him to work with him in the barn. She was fine with him because she had the experience, but other people in the barn were scared of him. And when I first worked with him, I got a real sense there was no way that I could get anywhere near his hind end. I could stand near his chest and I could feel the energy of his chest, but I couldn't progress. It was almost like there was an energetic wall. Mm. I couldn't get past. I was going nowhere. I could just couldn't get near his butt. So I said, well, this is what it is. And I still got words, got feelings, got pictures, relayed those to the owner. And the owner's like, yeah, absolutely. You know, how did you know that? Anyway, he just slept through the whole thing. He just like, he was in cross ties, but he just, you know, relaxed his head right down and he just slept. And his bottom lip was all, you know, loose and wobbly. Mm-hmm. And he was so relaxed. Anyway, so afterwards I said, well, let's go and let him into the arena and see what he does. And so we did that, and just to let him run free. And the owner sort of went, whoa. I said, well, what's different? And she said, normally he goes straight in there and he rolls, which obviously, you know, is a relaxation thing. So although that would be good, this time he went in there and he strolled around and he just meandered. And then he, you know, tottered off and then he rolled. But it wasn't, he didn't have that need to release the stress that he would normally do. He was just very relaxed. Anyway, so maybe a few weeks later, maybe a month, she said, well, yeah, it was a couple of weeks later actually, because I was getting close to leaving Canada. So she said, will you come back and work with him? Like, yeah, absolutely. And it was so funny, as I stood with him this time, he would relax and then he would look at me and go, what was that? What are you doing? And then relax and then look suspicious again. And it was so funny because he just didn't know what the energy was, but he knew he liked it. But he was like, suspicious. Anyway, so we did what we did. And then he went off into the arena again and didn't roll immediately, but was very relaxed, but was quite playful. So then the owner was like, holy cow, you know, this is funny. He actually was playing with the ball and things. She said, he's never done that before. Like, okay. And she said, he's a really good companion. And she said, I've always just been a little bit on guard because I didn't know how he would be. And anyway, so then the third time I went and worked with him, and we just went straight into the arena, and he was just free, and he was just strolling around and then would come up. And there's a picture on my website, actually, of him curling around me, and his owner got a picture of that, which I was just, I mean, I was amazed as anybody else, because it's not as if I've been doing it for years, and every single horse that I work with is another lesson. And anyway, so Reed came up to me, and then, you know, he'd walk off again, and then he'd like come trotting up to us, and his owner like stood in front of me. She said, "I'll always protect you." And anyway, and then he just slowed right down and came up and had a cuddle with us. And then I could lie my whole, like I was standing, but I could lie my whole body against his body, and he just snuggled into it. And this was a third session after the first session where I couldn't even touch him and let alone get anywhere near his hind end. So as far as horse whispering goes, I always arrive and I just say, "I don't know what I'm going to come up with, but the horse will tell us. And all I ask is for you to be open enough that you get the message."
Yeah, it's so interesting about how the reading their energy is actually the energy is they're so connected with their owner.
Exactly. But just like Penny was there for me, their owners, the horse and owners, they are no mistake together.
Is this true with other kinds of animals, like your pet, your dog and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And in fact, since I've come back to England, I've worked on somebody's horse. And one of her dogs was quite sick as well. And I said, "Well, look, you know, I haven't worked on anybody else's dogs other than the dogs we had in Canada, but I'll come and have a go." And so I was sitting, and it's funny because she had this pair of little dogs. And as I was sitting kind of bent over with my hands on the dog that was sick, the other dog jumped off the table and was with his paws on my head. it was such a fun, you know, magical experience. But she said certainly that, you know, the dog was in a very different state the next day because he just slept through the treatment. The animals just sleep through it. They love it.
That's so amazing. Oh, this is giving me such horse desires. And I'm so glad that you kept talking, because I was like on the verge of like, you know, I wouldn't have been able to even talk. That is just, you know, I have a connection to horses, and I need to get them back in my life. Maybe that's part of, you know, your path here.
My nose absolutely is running. Trust all of this is guided. And also, you know what? You know how you were saying there's a rescue nearby you?
Mm-hmm.
There will be so much healing energy for you and the horses there.
Yeah.
Maybe they rescue you as much as you rescue them.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm going to put it on my list. So, you had to sell Penny, and that makes me so sad, but I'm sure Penny's, you know, all the better for having been in your life. I mean,
I've got to tell you, Penny has moved to the equivalent of the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh.
Penny is leading the life of Riley, and we've been down to see her at her new home.
Aww.
She's on acres of green farmland down by Lake Erie. So they're going to take her swimming. She's got beautiful, experienced owner who's owned horses for years. Her two daughters ride. And then when we went down to see Penny, I said, "You know, how's she settling in?" She's like, "She's the calmest one we've got in the herd."
And the day
it's amazing. The day she came to ride her, to have a look at her, they were doing helicopter searches overhead. And so she got on her and she was riding her. And Susan, obviously my coach, Sue and I were standing there. And then she said, "Oh, I'll just take her into a canter," just as the helicopter came over. And Sue and I were like, "Okay." Penny, good as gold, solid, absolutely solid. And Susan and I looked at each other, we're like, "Oh my goodness, who is this horse?"
Yeah. And how did she react to you when she saw you again?
Just fine. I just said, "Penny," and she just looked up, she came over, she was just really relaxed and just strolling around the arena and sniffing out of the equipment in there. And my daughter lunged her and I lunged her, and she was so cool. Nothing spooked her. And then she strolled back out into the grass, and that was that. And, you know, my daughter and I cried all the way home.
So now you're over in England, and are you going to get another horse?
Not at the moment. No. I think the journey I had with Penny was so profound, and now I feel blessed that I have these gifts to use, or I've unearthed them, dusted them off, whatever it is. And so now I'm offering my services to local stables, because I've moved to a place that has a gazillion horses. And so now I'm just connecting with lots of stables and speaking to racing yards and speaking to all sorts of horse owners just to say, this is what I do. How can I help? You know, would it be of use? And to try and just, for me and the horses and the owners, just to benefit from this beautiful new skill that I've been able to practice.
Yeah. So it's very fresh. You just moved, like, August is when you arrived in?
I arrived on July 4th.
July 4th. Wow. Yeah.
Make of that whatever you will.
So a brand new life. And do you mind saying how old you are?
I'm 52.
52. And gosh, are you excited about the future and what it holds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it really feels, there was so much change, and with so much change, there is always fallout. My overriding energy behind the whole move is excitement, but there has been a massive clearing out, a massive downsizing. A lot of ties have been cut. It has taken a lot of courage actually to do the move that I've done. And in fact, my husband and I split up. So we separated everything in the house. I've moved here, he stayed there, which of course has implications for our children.
Yes.
Although, as I say, you know, my two older boys were kind of on their path anyway, but my daughter has come over here with me. There's more riding, which she's doing really well with. So the horses are healing us both. But I have to say, it took the most courage in the whole world for me to say what I said in order for us to go separate ways. And as I say, once I made that decision, Penny never put a foot wrong. She taught me courage.
Oh my goodness.
She taught me.
That has so much more meaning now.
Yeah.
That is really incredible. So I can relate, because I was 47 when I left a 25-year marriage. And so you just became fully aligned with who you're meant to be.
Yeah.
And that does take courage when other people are involved. But in the end, because we always think worst case scenario because, you know, and selfish and all those things. But I think you're selfish for staying in a relationship that isn't working, and you're only hurting the other person, because ultimately they're not happy if you're not happy.
Exactly. They could go and find love elsewhere.
Yes.
You could go and find love elsewhere.
And I think men are more, you know, they just don't want to. It's interesting. They just want to stay. They want to stay no matter how unhappy they are. Where I think women are the ones more likely to say, no, life is too short. And I don't know if it's because we're more emotional beings, and so we can say that, and we can feel that, and we can, like, not accept it if it's not what feels good. I have women that come to me and they're like, well, I should be okay. I should be happy because of the life I have. I should be content, and they're not. And so, no, if you're not really joyful and living from a place of joy, which is what we're what we're supposed to be, if we're really living who we were born to be. And so I applaud you for that. And I thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. I hope that it lands with somebody who needs that courage. So I'm living in a house which is very cute, as an absolute fraction of the size of the house we had before. You know, I sold my sports car. I sold Penny in my sports car in that space of a week. And I was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? But still, I knew I was doing the right thing.
And you have a new perspective. It's like, you know, what do I need versus what do I want? And I had the house, the expensive cars, you know, and where was I, you know, waking up every day going, oh, So thank you. I want you to come back. Cause I think, well, first of all, I'm going to reach out and do something
about,
but I think we should talk more about, like, that part of your life and the courage it took, and how you're navigating, and catch up with you in like 6 months and see. And oh, by the way, I wanted to say too, you have a podcast, so people should tune in to your podcast. Yes. It's the Magical Midlife. Yeah. Yes. And I'm excited to tune in myself. And
as we said, I hope that you will be a guest. I took a hiatus whilst I was moving everything and shipping everything. The podcast went on hold for a bit, but it will be back. And I hope that you'll be a guest on it too, because that would be fun.
Yes, I'd love to be. And I'll talk about how you inspired me.
Thank you.
So thank you so much, Lindsay. And I'm glad we finally were able to get our stars aligned on the day of the eclipse.
I know. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
Yeah. And she's on Instagram. So the link to her Instagram will be in the show notes. So we got to check that out too. But it's lovely. I think Lindsay Magical Midlife or something like that, right?
No, it's my name. It's Lindsay DeSwart. And then I've also got a new Instagram channel for the horse work, which is lindsay.deswart.
I'm not sure I follow that other one. So I'll have to look at that. So
That's only as of this weekend. So there we go. It's brand new.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.